The Codex Vaticanus, so named because it is kept in the Vatican Library. It is written on a very beautiful parchment in small, plain, standard script. There are three columns in each page, each consisting of 42 lines. The Codex includes all the books of the Bible in Greek language. Scholars believe it was written about the year 300 A.D.
The Codex Sinaiticus rivals the Vatican Codex in antiquity and is possibly a little older. It is of great importance in comparing texts. It was named the Sinai Codex owing to its discovery on Mount Sinai by the German scholar Tischendorf in the monastery of St. Catherine in the year 1844. It is written in a large, plain, standard script on vellum, with four columns to each page, and shows evidence of great age. It was presented by the discoverer to Tsar Alexander of Russia, and remained in Russia until the Bolshevik Revolution, when it was sold to the British Museum in London, where it is still kept.
The Ephraim Codex is kept in the National Library of Paris and contains all the books of the Bible in Greek language. It is written on parchment in fine script without spacing or signs. The first letter on each page is bigger than the rest. It was probably written about 450 A.D.
All these ancient manuscripts give an answer to the claim of the Quran that the Holy Scriptures are corrupted, and show that they are authentic, for they were written before the Quran. The copies in our hands today do not differ in any way from the ancient copies.
The Testimony of Ancient Scrolls.
The Qumran Scrolls. Among the treasures found in the Qumran caves in Jordan in 1947 is a complete manuscript of the book of Isaiah, the prophet, written in Hebrew on vellum as a scroll. This type of writing and vocabulary indicate that it was written in the 2nd century B.C. Scholars who have examined it say that its text is not different from what we use today.
A copy of the books Leviticus, Job, Psalms, and Habakkuk was also found in the Qumran caves, the text of which are in accord with the same books we use today. Alongside these writings was found a list of the books of the Old Testament containing all the books we now have, except the Book of Esther.
The Arsoino Scrolls. In the year 1877, there was found in Arsoino, located south of Cairo, a large number of documents written on papyrus, buried in the sand, among them a copy of the Gospel of John, which does not differ from that which is current today.
And finally, the Sinai Scrolls. Recently, there was discovered a copy of the four Gospels in the Syriac language in the monastery of St. Catherine in Sinai. It dates back earlier than the 5th century A.D., It is a copy of a translation made by Christians in the 2nd century A.D., and its text does not differ from our current version of the Gospels.
Excavations and the discovery of ancient scrolls have therefore confirmed the authenticity of the Bible in a remarkable way. It's unbelievable that the divine book could agree with history in such detail. We anticipate that other discoveries will still be made. Scholars are working hard on excavations, and everything points to the fact that there is no ground left to stand on for the critic or the objector to the New Testament and its traditional dating. Undoubtedly, such agreements between these discoveries and texts of the Bible present the strongest proof for the authenticity of divine inspiration and the integrity of those who recorded it.
The archaeologist Dr. Albright says, "By virtue of the discoveries at Qumran, we can be sure that the New Testament is the same today as when it was first written and contains the teachings of Christ and his disciples. The date of writing goes back to the period between the years 25 and 80 AD.
The testimony of archaeology.
From ancient times, the Holy Scriptures have been subjected to the attacks of atheists and infidels because God's Word was incompatible with their thoughts. Many of them tried to find in the ancient remains and inscriptions something conflicting with the Holy Scriptures, but discoveries proved disappointing to them. Inscriptions discovered by archaeologists in Palestine and Mesopotamia confirmed what is recorded in the Bible to an extent that many atheists turned believers, because the ancient inscriptions discovered testified to the validity of the biblical texts.
It was common belief among archaeologists that writing was not used in Palestine before the year 540 BC, which meant that Moses and other men of the Old Testament did not themselves write the books ascribed to them. Skeptics claim that the writers of the Torah had grossly exaggerated in the events and extent of culture in the Near East, in view of discrepancies between their books and the findings of ancient historians.
Modern discoveries, however, have refuted these theories totally, as they have confirmed the authenticity of the divine books in their records of civilization in Egypt, Babylon, and Syria, and confirmed what is said about Sennacherib, Tiglath-Pileser, Nebuchadnezzar, and others.
We rejoice that these discoveries have offered us the opportunity of seeing tablets on which are inscribed the letters which were used by Moses and Joshua, Isaiah, Samuel, and others, and that we are assured that writing was known at the time of Abraham, Moses, Job, and Nehemiah, as in our days.
We are happy that the words of Christ, that stones will speak, have been fulfilled in our generation. Indeed, they have spoken through inscriptions engraved on them, recording most of the important events mentioned in the Bible.
The story of creation. The Babylonian and Assyrian inscriptions contain writings about the story of creation, and they agree with what is written in the Bible, except for a few verbal discrepancies. The Bible says, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. This is in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 16. The Babylonian inscriptions say, God made the nebulae and the stars. The Bible says God made animals and creeping things according to their kinds. This is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And the Babylonian inscriptions say, the gods created these animals. The Bible says, God formed man from dust of the ground. This is in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. While the Babylonian version reads, the god Marduk created man from flesh and bones.
Monotheism and polytheism. The Bible says that people backslid, forsook the living God, and worshipped many gods, and that the prophets sought to turn them back to worship the only God, whereas skeptical scholars claimed that man from the beginning was polytheistic. This theory prevailed amongst most people until Dr. Herbert, an archaeologist and professor of Assyrian studies at Oxford University, repudiated it. This scholar said that monotheism in the Semitic and Sumerian religions existed before polytheism.
Modern discoveries have refuted the belief, common in some circles of learning, which claims that monotheism in the Jewish religion was unknown before the prophets preached it in the 7th and 8th centuries B.C. Many of the inspirations affirm that Moses taught the unity of God before the Hebrews entered the land of Canaan.
The story of the flood. Archaeology has given us a superb story of the flood from the Babylonian inscriptions, which agrees with what is written in the book of Genesis. Both records mention that the flood came according to divine plan, and both relate that the hero of the story warned of the coming of calamity upon the world, and that, after giving due warning, he built an ark for himself and his family, then took animals with him into the ark, two of every kind, male and female, for the preservation of the species. When the flood subsided, the ark rested on the top of a mountain, and the hero sent out birds to see if the flood had subsided. When the flood was over, he offered sacrifice to God, who answered and promised him safety.
Ur of the Chaldees. Prior to excavations in Mesopotamia, biblical scholars had no knowledge of the extent of culture and civilization that existed there. It was evident that this wilderness was once a paradise with flowing rivers and a metropolis of a remarkably civilized nation. Excavations there confirmed that in the distant past there had come a company of Sumerians to that spot, who settled there and established a splendid civilization. As for their religion, these Sumerians were polytheists. Each family had its own idol, which explains the behavior of Rachel when she stole the gods of her father, Laban, before the flight with her husband Jacob. Found in Genesis chapter 31, verses 31 through 37.
These excavations also confirm that Abraham was not a mere shekha of a Bedouin tribe who dwelt in tents, but rather that he belonged to a nation with a magnificent civilization, living in Haran. This agrees entirely with the text of the Bible in Genesis chapter 11, verse 28 to 31. When we consider Abraham's long journey, we find that the father of the faithful passed by Dothan, Bethel, and Shechem, which are cities mentioned in the Bible. Moreover, ruins discovered in Palestine point to the authenticity of what the Bible has to say about the region lying to the south of the Dead Sea, where Abraham spent a period of time. This had flourished and was thickly populated in Abraham's days.
The story of Joseph. Joseph was the victim of a cruel trick on the part of his brothers. He was sold to an Egyptian caravan, but because he was innocent and upright, God worked all things together for good. He found acceptance in the eyes of the Pharaoh, who raised him to the position of chief of the Egyptian treasury. This story has been confirmed by a tablet discovered in the tomb of a famous Egyptian who was a contemporary of Joseph. Scholars infer from this inscription that a fearful famine took place in his days, and the state distributed to the people food which had been stored by the treasurer in the years of plenty, and in turn the state confiscated private property. This account agrees with what is written in Genesis chapter 47, verses 18 through 22.
The Hebrew captivity in Egypt. In Egypt, a stone sculpture was found from the time of Thothmes III, which portrays the Hebrews building a temple for Pharaoh. A number of ruins were also found, the walls of which measure 8 feet in thickness. They are made of straw and mud dried in the sun. This discovery supports the record found in Exodus chapter 5, verse 7.
The Exodus of the Hebrews from Egypt. A tablet was found in Tel El Amarna in the year 1888, with inscriptions in the cuneiform writing relating that the governors of Palestine had sent the tablets to Pharaoh, asking for help against the invasion of a people called Hebrews.
Moses and the Law. There was a common belief prevalent among some scholars that the law came after the time of Moses. But excavations of ruins under the leadership of De Morgan in 1884 confirmed the Bible in its record that the law was given by Moses. This excavator discovered a treasury of manuscripts in the palace of Shushan, which is mentioned in the book of Esther. These manuscripts support the Bible's account of the law of Moses.
Bible accounts of some ancient races. In Ras Shamra, some 10 miles north of Latakia in Syria, the remains of the city of Ugarit were discovered. It was founded in the year 2000 B.C. Hundreds of tablets were found there, which agree with the Bible's accounts of the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites.
And finally, Egyptian tablets establishing the existence of the Hittites. Until recently, historians doubted the existence of Hittites, from whom the Bible says Abraham bought the cave of Machpelah to be a burial place for his wife Sarah, in Genesis chapter 23, verse 21. This doubt persisted until their chronicles were discovered on ancient Egyptian tablets. One of these relates a battle between the Hittites and the armies of Ramses II near Kadesh in the year 1287 B.C.
The Testimony of Islam.
The Quran testifies to the authenticity of the divine scriptures. Those who read it are astonished by its plain testimony, which is so clear that it does not need interpretation. This witness is repeated in a number of surahs, including as follows.
Lo, we did reveal the Torah, wherein is guidance and light, by which the prophets who surrendered passed judgment for the Jews, and the rabbis and the priests by such of Allah's scriptures as was entrusted to them, and thereunto they are witnesses. Surat al-Ma'idah, the table spread, verse 44.
And we caused Jesus, son of Mary, to follow in their footsteps, confirming that which was revealed before him in the Torah. And we bestowed on him the gospel, wherein is guidance and a light, confirming that which was revealed before it in the Torah, a guidance and an admonition unto those who ward off evil. Surat al-Ma'idah, the table spread, verse 46.
And unto you we have revealed the scriptures with the truth, confirming whatever scripture was before it, and watcher over it. So judge between them by that which Allah has revealed therein. Surat al-Ma'idah, the table spread, verse 48.
In the first verse, the Quran testifies to the authenticity of the Torah, that it is the right guidance against error and a light to reveal matters by which the prophets shall judge, in accordance with such of God's books as was entrusted to them, and to the trust of which they were witnesses. In the second verse is a statement that Christ confirmed the Torah to be true, and that his gospel, which is guidance, light, and admonition, confirmed that which preceded it in the holy books. In the third text, the Quran affirms that it was revealed to Muhammad, confirming whatever scripture came before it, and that he was a guardian of it, enjoined to judge by what God had revealed in it, in support of the Torah and the Gospel.
In endorsing the Torah and Gospel, the Quran goes on to exhort their adherents to carry out the teaching therein, and in this respect says, "Say, O people of the Scriptures, you have no guidance till you observe the Torah and the Gospel, and that which was revealed unto you from your Lord." Surah Al-Ma'idah, the table spread, verse 68.
The Quran also exhorts the believers of the Gospel to uphold the judgments contained in their book, and described those who neglect this as iniquitous. It says, "Let the people of the Gospel judge by what God has revealed therein. Whoso judges not by that which God has revealed, such are licentious." Surat al-Ma'idah, the table spread, verse 47.
O you who believe, believe in God and His messengers, and the Scripture which He revealed aforetime. Whoso disbelieves in God and His angels and His Scriptures and His messengers and the last day, he verily has wandered far astray. Surat An-Nisa, Women, verse 136.
From the foregoing, it has become clear that the Quran exhorts the people of the book to carry out the commands of the Torah and the Gospel. This is an implicit admission of their authenticity and integrity, as they both fortify the believer in salvation, which is in righteousness, and contain adequate instruction for conduct.
The Quran commands all believers, including Muslims, to believe in the Quran and the book which was revealed prior to it, that is, the Torah and Gospel. This is a clear call to Muslims to accept and believe in the Torah and Gospel, and is in keeping with the following Quranic verses. "Those are they unto whom we gave the Scripture, and command, and prophethood. But if these disbelieve therein, then indeed we shall entrust it to a people who will not be disbelievers therein. Those are they whom God guides, so follow their guidance." Surat al-An'am, Cattle, verses 89 and 90.
The Quran recognizes the competence of the Bible to rightly assess things in the spiritual realm, when it says to Muhammad, "How come they unto you for judgment, when they have the Torah, wherein is contained the commandment of God? Yet even after that they turn away. Such folk are not believers." Surat al-Ma'idah, the table spread, verse 43. This verse shows that those who uphold the commandments of the Bible have no need to resort to any book to be judged by, whereas those who turn away from the divine book, after knowing the truth contained therein, are described as unbelievers.
"Say unto them, O Muhammad, then bring a scripture from Allah that gives clearer guidance than those two, that I may follow it, if you are truthful." Surat al-Qasas, the story, verse 49. This verse instructs Muhammad on what to say to those who reject his message, as they rejected that of Moses before him. That is, to bring a scripture from God, giving clearer guidance than the Bible and the Quran.
"And we sent not as our messengers before you other than men whom we inspired. Ask the followers of the remembrance if you know not." Surat An-Nahl, the B, verse 43. The Jalalan commentary says, "The followers of the remembrance are those learned in the Torah and Gospel. If you do not know that, they do, and you are more likely to believe them than would the believers, Muhammad." Jalalan, page 357.
In fact, this verse is a clear testimony that the apostles of God and his prophets who wrote the remembrance did so by inspiration, led by the Holy Spirit. Alongside other verses we cited, this verse affirms that the Quran considers our Bible as guidance, a light, a remembrance, the command of God, and His inspiration. God commanded the Muslims to ask about that which they do not know. Is this not a clear admission from the Quran that our holy books are authentic and therefore uncorrupted?
They agree with the testimony of the apostles of Christ as to the authenticity of the Bible and its inspiration. The devoted apostle Paul said, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We read this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
This is why Christians accept the Old Testament, which was completed about the year 400 B.C. The Jews divided it into three parts.
The first part is the Torah, consisting of five books written by Moses. These are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which from the beginning have been considered sacred, respected, and revered because they contain the Ten Commandments of God and His promises to man.
The second part, the Prophets, subdivided into two sections, the books of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings, on the one hand, the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi on the other.
The third part is the writings, consisting of the Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Chronicles, the Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations of Jeremiah, Ecclesiastes, and Esther.
With regard to the books of the New Testament, scholars are unanimous that they were written and compiled while many of Christ's followers who had heard him and seen him were still alive. The New Testament consists of the four Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles, the letters of Paul, the letters of Peter, the letters of James, John, and Jude, and the book of Revelation.
This is a summary of the contents of the Bible inspired by God through his saints. God has guarded it with the greatest care. He chose faithful men to write down his revelations and likewise to translate them into the languages of the world. There is no doubt that its circulation today in approximately 1,400 languages and dialects proves that God has been watchful over his word and guards it forever.
Indeed, nations will come and go, languages will die out, and the world will change. But the precious Bible will live forever, because it contains the message of God for every man and woman, boy and girl, at all times and in all places. I mean the message of salvation through Jesus Christ, which is for all, be they black or white, and of all races and languages. There is a living power in God's book, which gives power to all who accept Jesus Christ as Savior by faith to become the children of God.